is John Walden. I want you to read with me in Revelation chapter 10 now in our studies in this wonderful book. Revelation chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was about his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there shall be time or delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now we saw that between the sixth and the seventh seals, there was a parenthesis. Now we have another parenthesis between the sixth and the seventh trumpets. There'll be still another when we get to chapter 16. Between the sixth and the seventh vials. This parenthesis is for the purpose of establishing John's moral likeness to tell this story, to prophesy, to pass on the truths that are given here. Now, you may not appreciate what this means, but if you read the first chapter of Daniel, you'll see that although Daniel is about to have very wonderful dreams and to interpret some wonderful dreams and visions for other people, still the first chapter is taken up with the moral condition of himself and his three young friends, because it is absolutely necessary, if God is to have someone to be a witness for him and someone through whom he can give a message, it is necessary that that person be in right condition himself. Now, these trumpets that we have been reading about tell us of the Great Tribulation. The seventh trumpet, as we'll notice in the next chapter, completes all this and ushers in the millennium and the close of time. The mighty angel in verse 1 of chapter 10 is none other than the angel of the covenant in the Old Testament, and he is the angel priest that we saw in chapter 8. In other words, he is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus is a created being. He is not. But it does mean that he is a messenger of God, and this is the meaning of the word angel. The reason he is described as an angel is because God is dealing with Israel. The Great Tribulation is not for the church. The church will be gone home to heaven before the Great Tribulation begins, or even before the beginning of sorrows, the first half of the 7 years. The Great Tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is a terrible tornado, and the vortex is the land of Palestine. So, an angel appears. And this angel will be recognized by the people of Israel as their own Messiah. Notice that he is clothed with a cloud. The Revised Version says clothed with the cloud. The cloud is always the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud. The Lord appeared in that cloud in the Old Testament repeatedly. He entered the temple in that cloud and made the mercy seat his abode. And then the prophet sees him leaving the temple and passing away from it, and he has never inhabited it since. But he will again in the millennium. So, this is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. There's a rainbow around his head, the same rainbow that was around his throne in chapter 4. His face is like the sun, and Saul of Tarsus saw him on the way to Damascus, and he was brighter than the midday sun. His feet are burning like fire. Chapter 1 told us this was the Lord Jesus himself, and Daniel also saw him in this same way. Now the book that he holds in his hand and which is taken by John, I believe is the same book that we had earlier, back in chapter 6. We had this seven-sealed book opened up by the Lord himself. In chapter 5, we found that no one was able to open it or look upon it but the Lord Jesus. This is the book of future judgments. We call it the title deed to the earth, the Lord alone, who made this earth, who came as the Son of Man to redeem, has the right to be the judge. He cries with a loud voice as the voice of a lion roaring, showing that he is the conquering one. All through the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus is seen in his conquering glory. He's the Lamb, yes, but the Lamb is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the people will flee from the wrath of the Lamb. Now when the seven thunders of judgment were uttered, John was told not to write them down. I don't know what was in them, and you don't know what was in them, and thank God I'll never know what was in them, because these were judgment, and there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm perfectly satisfied for these things to be sealed and never written down. Now the statement made by the Lord Jesus here that there should be delay no longer in verse 6, that's the revised reading and the marginal reading. He swear by the one who lives forever and ever that there should no longer be any delay, and that what was to happen was really the completing of the mystery of God, the finishing of the mystery of God. We have several mysteries in the New Testament. The mystery of God is the mystery of God's, the reasons for God's doing things, the mystery of God's ways, the mystery of God's long tolerance of evil. We don't understand these things, but we know that God is working, and we know that the time is going to come when all of these things will be ready. They'll be finished, when the Lord will complete his judgments. Now he hears the voice from heaven speaking to him and says, go and take the little book. John, in order to tell others about this, must do something with this little book. He must take this little book out of the hand of the angel and eat it up. Now this little book brings us back to the third chapter of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel the prophet was also told to take the book and eat it up. And of course, eating the book simply means reading, appropriating to yourself, meditating upon what God has to say. This book is especially the book of the judgments of God, or as we would say, the book of prophecy. Now, prophecy is very sweet. People enjoy prophecy. People like to hear about it. People like to come to meetings where prophecy is taught. I suppose that you're listening to this broadcast because you enjoy prophecy, you enjoy the book of the Revelation. It is sweet to our taste. But let me tell you that if you will eat it up, it will be bitter to your belly. What do we mean by this? We mean simply that the truths of God that have to do with future, with the judgments, with God's plans, are hard on ourselves. When you first learn about the coming of the Lord, what a wonderful truth that was. And then it began to dawn on you, if the Lord is coming right away, I can't go on living like I am. If the Lord is coming right away, I have no business laying up treasures here. If the Lord Jesus is coming, I should be very careful about my behavior toward other Christians, and so on. And so the assimilation, the understanding and appropriation of the truths given here will really change the lives of people who believe these truths. If you really believe what God is doing, you believe what His plans are, you believe what He says is going to take place, it's going to make a difference in how you live. We're told in 2 Peter just how things are going to end. That is, about the end of the present world and the founding of a new heavens and new earth. And three times in that chapter he says, now seeing these things are going to be, now since you know these things, what kind of people ought you to be? How should you behave yourself? If the Lord Jesus is coming right away, how should you behave? If the Lord Jesus is coming right away, how should you carry on your business? If the Lord Jesus is coming right away, how should you act in respect to your church fellowship? If the Lord Jesus is coming right away, how liberal should you be with your money? And if you're not a Christian, I have been speaking now to Christians because John was the Lord's servant. But if you're not the Lord's, if the Lord Jesus is coming right away, how should this affect you? Would you be ready if the Lord Jesus came? Shouldn't you be ready if the Lord Jesus comes? And since the Lord Jesus is coming, and since there is no other way to be ready except by putting your trust in this one who is described here in his greatness, but who came to this earth to suffer and die for you, should you not receive him, trust him, accept him? Our Father, we ask thy blessing on thy word. We pray that those who are not saved might trust the Savior soon, and that thy children, all of us, might live as though we expected our Savior momentarily. We pray in His name. Amen.
Thank you again for the reading of this book of Galatians. We ask, Lord, that our hearers may read it, and they may be sure of one thing, that they're justified through faith in Christ. For justification comes through faith, not by works. Receive our thanks now.